Thanks, Ray. Thanks very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Bwin Sultas.
Hey, that's Phoebe. Gurmagut, Phoebe. And she's from Aucastle in County Kerry. And June, her mum, sent that into us. So thanks to you both. Gurmila Mila Mahagwif. Now, this is going to scare the living daylights out of you. Where's my uniform? Have you got your homework done? What for lunch? Are you giving me a lift or am I getting the bus? Believe it or believe it not, it is 40 years since Glen Rowe hit her screens. It first was aired in 1983. Yeah, do the maths, that's 40 years ago, missus. And we've a lovely, lovely chat today. We've Mary McAvoy, Geraldine Plunkett and Isabel Mann, three of the big stars of Glen Rowe. And they're coming in to share their memories. And we'd like you to do the same. You know, to tell us what you remember. Was it the fear Sunday evening when you hear the theme tune, have I got my homework done? Or was it, you know, the classic?
Holy God.
See, that's my favourite. I see the Irish Mirror did, the top seven moments from Glen Rowe's. It was on for 17 years. So at number seven, Biddy's shock car crash. We'll talk to Mary about that. Dinny asking Miley, anything stirring? With reference to any babbies on the way. Mary eats magic mushrooms. Yeah, that actually happened. Was Miley the father of Carmel's son? Forgotten about that one. Fidelma gets it on with Dr. Connor. Of course, Fidelma also got it on with Miley, yes. Dr. Connor was played by none other than Mario Rosenstock. And Brendan Gleeson was in Glen Rowe as well. And of course, that brings us nicely onto Oscars, which we're going to be talking about in a moment. At number two, Dick Moran's General Skullduggery. He was a philanderer. Yes, he was. And at number one, there's top of the list, is Miley's affair with Fidelma. So we'll be discussing all of those things. And if you have any memories about Glen Rowe, you want to ask Mary, Geraldine, Isabel, any questions, get them into us, 51551, ray at rte.ie. Yeah, 1983. I'm just looking at, it was the year Octopussy. That was the Bond movie of that year. And at the premiere in London, Princess Di and Prince Charles of Wales attended at the Odeon in Leicester Square. What else happened? Shergar was kidnapped in an armed robbery in Ballymoney outside Newbridge. A ransom of 2 million was demanded for the horse, but communication with the thieves breaks down or even broke down. The ransom was never paid, and as we know, Shergar was never found. It was a brilliant year for music, 1983. Yes, as well as Glen Rowe starting, the hits just kept coming. Irene Cara. Take your passion and make it happen. 40 years ago in Harefield Hospital in England, the first full heart and lung transplant was successfully carried out. Always believe in your soul. You've got the power to know you're indestructible. Always believe in. Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? Also in England, a 31-year-old Janet Walton gave birth to 6 girls following fertility treatment. The babies were the first all-female sextuplets to survive. And this song, oh, this song. Violence in the street, that is what we are. Ireland's Industry. Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. No, I know it was Ireland's in the stream. I know it was. It was, yes. Great year for the party hits. This This was epic. I don't know what to do. I'm always in the dark. Living in a party gang and get off the spot. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Once upon a time I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And now we go to LA to our Oscars correspondent, Devla Mescal.
Hello, how are you? I'm sitting on my balcony and it's a little bit drizzly. Uh-huh. I'm a little bit going, drizzle? But I hear it's snowing at home.
Well, it did. It snowed overnight in Dublin, but now okay. We have a lovely blue skies and it's a lovely clear spring
fabulous.
Day.
Okay, well, hopefully that'll come here.
So are you aware that they're calling you Mescal as opposed to Mescal over there?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes, like, yeah. we're definitely... But now, if you think about it, where West Clare is, and Mescal being the name, it probably has a Spanish connotation with the Spanish Armada and, the, you know, the West Coast of Ireland. Maybe.
So it could be Mescal.
Look, yeah. It could be, but we're definitely Mescals.
Well, thanks for taking our call. What time is it over there, Devla?
It is 7:10 in the morning.
And are you usually up this early?
Well, I just to put a real life thing on, I have to take my tablets.
Oh, you do? Okay, yes, right, okay.
So there's real life to it.
Yes,
to my life.
I know, but this is the most glorious of distractions, is it not?
It is. Listen. Like, you're in departures in... at Dublin Airport, and there's a red carpet, and there's stars, and there's all this magic.
Yeah.
And then we got to travel kind of first class with Aer Lingus, and it was very it is the way to travel, guys. I'm sorry, it was pretty fabulous, yeah. And we were treated so beautifully. And what was really interesting was. The Irish that was being spoken, because the quiet girl.
Yes.
People were on the with us, and Paul, my husband, obviously speaks a great amount of Irish, so I can understand Irish, but I don't have that confidence to speak it. So it was wonderful to hear it, and actually guffawing and having this, like, it wasn't teaching Irish, it was like people speaking it with this total growl. So that was really lovely, and it was actually, I'd say, it was quite interesting for people, you know, other people in the cabin to hear it. So it was actually lovely, really nice. So that was a bit of fun.
So you're over there, you're in a beautiful house, we saw it on your Instagram.
Yes,
look
we
at
are.
You with an Instagram.
Yes.
And the three children are off about at the Vanity
we're all under
Fair
the, we're
party
all under the one roof.
Yes,
we literally arrived and Nell went and met Dunica and Paul, and they went off and did their thing, and we came to the house, and we did the things that you do, which is unpack.
So
that's what we did.
We were speaking to a lovely man from a radio station in Kentucky before we came on. He was interviewing me, which was anyway.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
But he it's over there as well. The excitement around the Irish contingent at the Oscars this year, it's just gone stratospheric.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes that kind of surprises me, because the Irish film industry itself, it has, like, if at home we know how strong it is. Like, I think we do know how strong it is. And so I think it surprises us that other people don't know that we're this good. It's not a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, when you're surrounded by people, like, you know, the Avatar connection, these are huge films.
Yeah.
Like, there's big posters everywhere, you know? Like, how you couldn't think that we couldn't do it. So I suppose the whole thing is that we shouldn't think small ever.
No.
We might be a small in the landmass, but we are mighty and big.
Punching above our weight. Now, you went to the Oscar Wilde party last night.
We did.
Was
we
it
did.
Wild?
We went to that last night. It was, listen, the Coronas were playing.
Right.
Eve Hewson, Kerry Condren, Jesse Buckley, and Cleanat and Colm got... and awarded for, so The Quiet Girl, Eve Hewson, let's see, Carrie, and then Jess, they all spoke, and they were all awarded from people who knew them. And so that was actually quite lovely. And they had lovely speeches, because they kind of spoke about how they got to where they were and what made them become the magicians behind, you know, for us to look and be transported into other worlds.
Of course.
So that was quite nice.
Your son Paul is one of those magicians now.
Yeah, I suppose he is. And Colin Farrell and all these wonderful other people. Yes.
You were in with us last week. Dervla,
yes,
and I didn't get a chance because we couldn't find this interview. We mentioned that we'd
hidden
3 years
in the
ago.
Vault, so you had somebody run around.
Yes, we did.
We
found the interview that we did with Paul 3 years ago. Right,
and just I'd be interested.
We'll just play a little bit of it. So it was about
fab.
You know what he aspired to. What was his dream? What was his ambition?
Okay.
So here we go.
Okay.
Your son, Paul Mescal.
My son.
Working with Lenny was kind of one of those at the start, and it would still be the dream to work with him again. And I think I'm kind of influenced by films that I see this year. So, for example, Marriage Story, Little Women, Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach, all those kind of films that you're seeing young actors like Florence Pugh, Timothy Chalamet stepping up. And
same age as you.
Yeah. Which is both terrifying. Like, I always find it deeply upsetting when you're looking at people like that and you're like, God, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. But it's just about being put in those kind of positions of pressure and seeing how you exist and respond. Yeah.
And as we see, he has responded more than adequately.
Yeah. Gosh, it's quite interesting. Yeah, that's you know, they're kind of, it's, you know, I mean, how many people have interviews of us when we were at certain ages?
Well,
you know,
nobody.
Exactly. So, like, it's quite interesting to hear yourself back.
Yeah.
Three years hence.
You recognise him because he's your son, but you know, with success comes confidence, and it changes your delivery, doesn't it? And the way you talk about things and yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I was ever afraid of, you know, I even, it's funny, somebody asked me, because Annelle had her concert in Dublin last week, and, you know, when she gets the mic, you know, and they say the same thing about Paul. I don't ever get nervous once they're there in the space with their mics, but the nervousness is like opening nights when he walks onto a stage. Oh my God, don't get frightened, don't get scared.
Yeah.
And they don't. So there is that innate thing, I think, and it must be in actors and people like yourself even, who are doing things that you have a mic in front of you. You're on. You better be on. You better know your business.
Oh, no.
but you know
you're
what I'm saying?
Me. Yes,
like,
no,
there
I
is,
do, I do.
Sorry,
yes.
But you do know what I mean. So I think that there's people like me who quite happily, you know, answer a phone call, but it's not an innately thing that you're comfortable. So I think it's to be comfortable in your skin doing what you do. And so I don't have that fear for them now.
Maybe when
they were smaller. No, never.
It's your first time in LA, Dervla.
We've never been this far away from home.
Right.
I was telling that to the people in Aer Lingus when I was getting on the plane. I said, I've never gone this far away, ever. And it's funny, people kind of looking at you and I'm going, yeah, no, we just never, like, we went to New York when Paul was two. That was the last time we did that kind of trip. And then, you know, no holidays for many, 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 many years.
Children are expensive.
Children are expensive. And, no, well, actually, no, I think that's wrong. I think the choices we make, the decisions we choose. So I don't have any regrets about not doing any of that, because the choices I made have created a different life, just a different path. We just took different decisions.
Now, before we get to the Guna, when you were in, Ellen went down to Gaelic School Iíoc, which is Paul's old primary school, and they got the lovely sing song and the lovely best wishes, and the card.
And the card.
Go on, tell us about the card.
As I told you, well, I did say at the very moment that when I got home, what I did was, when I knew I was coming, I went and bought matching luggage. It's kind of always been a dream, because I always perceived people with matching luggage were pretty, pretty amazing. So we actually got matching, because normally if I go anywhere, I'm usually saying, can I borrow your suitcase? Do you need your suitcase? I'll borrow it. So anyway, I went and bought matching luggage for myself and Paul. So we have matching luggage. So the first thing I did was I actually put that card into the bottom of the thing so it wouldn't get crumpled, because it's so beautiful. And it is in the front hall of the house. And so we hadn't seen him until he came back with Nell and Donica. And so he saw it and he just went, are people really? And I said, yes, these are your people. And they really, really, really are wishing you well.
Yeah.
So he actually stood there for a moment. He opened it up and he looked at it. So it's in our hallway. So anytime that anybody comes in to see it.
That'd be so, so lovely for everybody out there.
I will do a video of it. Yeah. Yes, I will. And I will do a video of it. But it is there. I can tell you that.
Oh, that's great for Gael's school, Eoch, to know that he's had it in his hand. He's read their messages. That's great.
Oh, he's read their messages. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes,
so,
yes,
so you're his plus one, Dervla.
I am his plus one. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty magical.
Yeah. And have you thought about walking down the red carpet? Because it's something you've seen. We've all seen it. We know what
I have. I've seen it. I watched when the stars go into that I don't know if that's right, 365 camera, you know, where they twirl around and do all that thing. Ryan Seacrest, you know, when he does that thing. So I've watched it. I've watched it for years and years and years. But Paul is very protective. He's very knowledgeable and he's very aware. So he will mind me. I will be followed and I will be, you know, I'll follow whatever he says to me to do. And I feel very safe. I feel very safe. So it's all a bit magical and it's all we drove past. We drove past like where the Vanity Fair party is going to be. And like it's all set up. So it's a bit like the Pope's visit. Sorry. But it's got like all these tents and bits and pieces. And, you know, this place, you know, the stars are on the walls. Like they're not just on the ground, I believe, but they're everywhere. Like when you look up on every placard, there's some star, like the Banshees is right up there, right? Yeah. You know, and these big, huge posters. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It's fantastic.
How is Paul feeling about the whole thing?
This is work. Like, you know, I think that's
it is, but it is, you know, but nominated.
Is work, but it is buzzy work. Yes, you know, it's buzzy work. This is the kind of thing. It's buzzy work.
But you've used the word magical a number of times now, and there's something magic about being nominated for an Oscar, particularly this early in his career.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's... I think I said this to you. The work, I am so pleased because he says it in interviews and I see so genuinely means it for his film, Charlotte's film, you know, to be
After Sun,
to be so taken that he gets to be in this power group is pretty awesome because it's a really, really quiet film. It's not like, big, you know, blockbuster.
No.
So, it's, you know, for me, I think, as he says himself, it means that what he did to celebrate Charlotte's work is a celebration of small film.
Yeah.
And that's enormous. That's enormous here, I think, when I see it. I can actually suddenly see what he's saying.
Yes,
it is
enormous. Yeah. So... And he's obviously he was delighted to be part of it because it's such a moving movie.
Oh my god! I knew, you know, when he first got that script, he was just beyond himself. He just wanted wanted that role because he knew what it meant or what it would mean for him to be able to play a character like that. Like listening to him talking about Lenny, like getting Connell. You know, there's moments in your life that you see the stepping stones. I think we can all look back and say, if I made that choice, when I made that choice, that gave me this and it made me this and it did this for me. So I think it's, what do they say? Choices, chances. So there's no shoulda, coulda, wouldas. I don't believe in shoulda, woulda, couldas. My kids, I kind of say it all the time. Right. You know, there's no shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Just now, do it and
Now, will this be as special as your, did you have a Debs?
I had a Debs, yes. But I had to ask the guy.
Oh, you had to ask him, right? Okay, right.
I had to make that phone call, you know, the old-fashioned phones. And then waiting for him to answer, is he there? I won't mention his name. Is he there? And then he goes, and his mommy's gone, you're here. So anyway, did all that. He said yes. So I always am so grateful for that.
Oh, great. And so it'll be now you on Sunday getting ready with the Guna Alling from Gucci.
And I said yes.
Yes. Yes. Because it's great that Guna and Gucci have, you know, it's a nice bit of alliteration.
Oh,
there.
Yes, a nice little bit of a ring.
And have you told people what it's like, or are you?
No, I haven't. It's not a secret. It's just, I think it's a surprise, and I think it's part of the. I'm going to use the word again, magic of it. But as soon as I saw it on the rack, And you know, you're sort of matching, you're obviously been making sure that you're not going to clash with anyone else or whatever, you know, doing anything that's, you know, his stylist knows what's right. what's in. And I put it on me. I don't know how to use those words because this is all new. But anyway, I put this dress on and it was with, you know, I'm going to use, with not the good underwear. So I put this dress on and I knew it just was my dress. So everything was just perfect. And I just went, oh my gosh, this is me. And I said it to Niamh, one of your producers. Yeah. I just went, it was like the bibbidi bobbidi bop moment, you know, in Cinderella, where somebody just went, and just, I went, oh my gosh, I feel this is me. Yeah. This is right. Well, so that was it.
Well, listen, have the best of times and wish Paul the best of luck for us.
I will, of course.
And you
will,
said
of course.
It.
And I'm so, so, so proud to be here. And I'm so proud for Ireland. And yeah. I'm going to get emotional. So I'm not going to get emotional. But as I sit here looking at LA at my feet, I'm kind of, it is a pinch me moment, and I know how privileged, and I am so, so grateful to be here. Beyond.
Yeah. Well, lovely talking to you, Dervla, and have a brilliant night.
Thank you.
And mind yourself. Mind yourself. And
I will.
And enjoy every second of it. Relish it.
I am relishing it. I'm recording it all for my memory.
Right.
Thank
okay.
you.
See you, Dervla. Bye. Have
Talk
a good
to
day.
You soon.
See
God
you now.
Bless.
Bye. That's the lovely Dervla Walsh there. Not Dervla Walsh, Dervla Mescal. Who's Dervla Walsh? She's a director. That's right. I was looking up here because it's Glen Rowe all over the place here. So we've loads of comments coming in for Geraldine and Mary and Isabel. And we're going to be chatting to them in a moment. Have we played a song yet? No, we haven't. So we'll play something from 1983. This was huge back in 1983. See if you recognise it. It was the original. Sambello Maniac, that was from Flashdance as well, from 1983. Why 1983? Because that was the year that Glen Rowe started. 40 years ago. Now after 4 o'clock, we're looking for two people to come on and answer 3 questions each on our Who Done It quiz. Yeah, 2 quizzers, 3 whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians, any sort of human endeavour. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get 2. With the clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point for a correct answer. And there's a prize. It's 2-night stay for 2 people at the Riverlea Hotel in Cork, which is part of the family-run Irish luxury hotel group, the Doyle Collection. Spring is in the air down there. And here, it's time to discover all Cork has to offer with the Riverlea's dinner-inclusive stays. For a limited time only, use the promo code CHAMPAGNE when booking directly on their website to enjoy a complimentary bottle of champagne to toast your arrival. A beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit every taste. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. Here is your qualifying question on this Friday afternoon. Which Irish TV show first aired 40 years ago? Glen Rowe or Fair City? So which Irish TV show first aired 40 years ago, Glen Rowe or Fair City? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, 40 years ago this year, Glen Rowe hit our screens for the first time and Sunday nights would never be the same again. The show ran until 2001. Today we're celebrating the success and legendary status of Glen Rowe, and with me in studio we have Mary McAvoy, who played Biddy Byrne. How are you doing?
Hello.
Onshaw.
Onshaw.
Geraldine Plunkett, who played Mary McDermott Moran.
Onshaw.
Double barrel name, look at you, very posh. And Isabel Mann, who played Michelle Malone, the barmaid.
That's right, that's me.
Barmaid's fine.
Bar person.
Barmaid then.
Barmaid now. It's great to have you all here.
It's great to be here. So many of us are not here.
That's believe it was 40 years. My goodness, yeah.
That was a wonderful cacophony there. That's 15 seconds. I love
it. Like in a hen house.
Yeah. That's us.
Right. So you were in it from the start.
I was.
Mary McAvoy. So Geraldine was. And you joined the second year.
I joined in season two.
Well, can I ask you then, we go to you first then, what was it like? Because, you know, they were established as a cast and was very successful by the end of the first season and you were coming in.
I know. Well, you see, Mary and I were in the gate and we'd kind of started our theatre career. Mary was in the Chastitude and then we were both in Semi-Private. So it was...
No, Philanderer.
The Philanderer, sorry, oh, the Philanderer. Beg your pudding.
Excuse me, it's George Bernard Shaw.
Beg your pudding.
Never been as posh since, but anyway, there you go.
Sure, listen, I won't take that from your mare. But anyway, so Mare had been in the show when she got the job. So this was like, woo, woo, you know, everything was a big deal. So I was kind of joining the show, you know, having kind of, I suppose, by proxy been there from the beginning. But it was a big show and everyone was talking about it. So it was very exciting to be joining. It was a big deal.
Now, for people who are interested in history, there was the Reardons. And then there was Bracken.
Yeah.
And then came Glenroe.
Yes, yeah. They were all spin-offs of spin-offs.
Were they?
Yes, they were. Yeah.
And there was a spine going through all three. Mm. Had Miley been?
No. Gabriel Byrne played Pat Barry in The Reardons.
Right.
And then Pat Barry was in Bracken. It was in Bracken.
Yeah.
And Miley and Dinny were in Bracken.
Aha.
And then... Miley and
they
Dinny
got their own show, yeah, so to speak.
Yes.
So
and Gabriel came back and did an episode of
Glenroe.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Well,
yeah.
We're talking about people coming back and all that. Brendan, does anybody remember Brendan Gleeson in it?
Yep.
Yes, I do. Was,
yes.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Well, I have no memory of Brendan Gleeson in it at all, no.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it for long, was he?
No. He went on to Pastor's Green.
He was in it for a few episodes or something.
Yeah. He played Lucy Fiona's boyfriend.
That's right.
Lucy Vine Welsh.
Yes.
And Isabel, you would have encountered most people. You would have been in the scene with most people because you're in the bar.
I was in the bar. Yeah. No, I actually don't remember him that well.
Right.
Don't quote me on that, but...
It's out there now. So
yeah, it's too late.
People
it's in the public domain. Garland heard me. Yeah.
That's where radio works. <isn't>
Yeah, I know, Ray. I know. I do remember him. And actually, it was round about the same time as he played Michael Collins in the television series. That was before... The film later on.
Liam Neeson played Michael Collins.
Yeah, and he played Michael Collins in the television six-part or whatever it was series, I think. I can't remember.
And not to talk too much about Brendan Gleeson, but he interestingly played both Michael Collins and Churchill, didn't he? Play Churchill then again?
He did play Churchill.
Donald Trump as well.
Yes, he did.
There you go.
Yes, he did.
This would be great. Listen, if they're having a pub quiz, you know, we'd make a great team, wouldn't we?
You would.
Yeah, you would, right. So who was like who got top billing?
Who?
Joe Lynch. And then Mick. They both rest in peace. Yes. And then Mary as Biddy.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Emmett and myself.
And Bobby Carrickford. He was no longer with us either.
And Mary, so just remind us then of the storyline. 1983, you were, as Biddy, you were single.
I was single. Yes. And we were in the first... The first location, which was up in, it was up...
Kilcool?
No, it wasn't Kilcool.
Newcastle?
It was Newtown Mount Kennedy.
Right.
And it was the Douglas's farm up in Newtown Mount Kennedy. And then Miley and Dinny bought a holding next to Mary and Biddy. You had Micheál O'Brien was
your
husband.
Husband in it. Uh-huh. We had
Carol,
a farm.
Remember?
Carol was his sister.
But so that's, and then they were both.
How were you first introduced? And was there, because obviously
first of all, can I just tell you, I decided when I was going to be on the telly, at that time, The Last Tango in Paris was kind of still fresh in the memories. And I loved Your Woman's Hair, Maria Schneider's. So I decided I was going to look like Maria Schneider. So I got the hair done and I ended up looking like somebody like with the perm.
It was the 80s.
Anyway,
it was lovely.
But there was a word you said to me, what did you think of him? And I said, a bit soft. Wasn't that what I said?
Gosh.
Miley comes in.
I remember that scene,
And he said, what did you think of me? He's a bit soft. Yeah, and that was it. And then it ended up like, will they, won't they, and all that kind of stuff.
Three years of a love story.
And he was a bit older than you. Was that in the plot?
No, not really.
No,
wasn't that much older than you.
He wasn't.
He was 34. What was he? Was
It's supposed to be starting with more.
I know, he was more
than
that.
I don't think there was any big deal about the age.
No big difference. Okay. I mean, maybe just from my point of view.
My husband was much older than me.
And you were having an affair
with Dick. Dick Moran at the time. And then the husband died and I married Dick. But then it turns out that his first marriage, which had been years before, was he had an annulment, but it wasn't a valid annulment or something legal, some legal loophole. I don't know what
so
it was.
So he wasn't legally married to you?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
According to the church, yes, but according to the state, no.
The phrase that comes up over and over again is character driven. And that we all cared about. Biddy and Mary and Isabel, when we sat down on a Sunday evening, and we did in our hundreds of thousands, we cared. And there could have been the most inane of chats, but it was gripping for us at home.
It was, because I think, you know, the greatest criticism of Glenroe was that nothing happened, but actually it was his greatest strength as well.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, also it was an incredibly well rehearsed show. It didn't we didn't just learn the lines and go on. Everybody sort of inhabited their characters. Yeah. Everything evolved from the inside out rather than the outside in. Mm. And I think that came across in communication.
We used to have a few days rehearsal and then shoot the following week, which was, I mean, a luxury simply don't have. Yeah. Also, we have to say that Wesley Burrows, who wrote the script, I mean, they were just, we never had to say, oh, could we say it this way or that way? You know, in later years, wonderful writers came in. But for the first couple of four years, it was all Wesley.
Yeah, and he really was
wonderful.
And he understood, no matter what plot line was suggested or what idea, he'd take it and flip it and he'd turn something unexpected and magical out of it.
Yeah.
I suppose we all felt that we knew a Biddy. Or an Isabel who worked in the local
Michelle.
Bar.
Yeah. Michelle.
Sorry, you're Michelle. Yes, you're an Isabel. Yeah.
In real life.
That must have been confusing as well.
Michelle was real life. Yeah, yes. The Isabel was the fictional bit. That's how it felt sometimes.
We all felt that.
So you began to inhabit your character.
I think what it was, Ray, is that the industry was very different then. There was no celebrity culture at all. So we just went to work. And we just considered ourselves actors. We didn't think...
No, we went to the supermarket, you got your trolley and you went to the supermarket.
There was no kind of paparazzi. Yeah. There is here anyway. But, you know, there was none of that. And there was no kind of... but then it started to...
Yeah, well, if 800 or 900,000 people are sitting down on a Sunday watching you, you know, when you go to the supermarket, they're going to say,
But they would. Yeah. They'd say, hello, Mary, hello, whatever. And, you know, so what? It meant they were looking at the show.
They'd say Mary as opposed to Geraldine.
They would, absolutely. Yes. And still do, I have to say.
But I think, I can say, you can't do it for 16 years, well, even a lot longer because it hasn't stopped, when people are saying, how are you, Biddy, and bursting into peals of laughter. It certainly doesn't. You kind of go... So funny
about that.
They laugh, not you.
Yeah, they burst into peals of laughter, you know.
I know. And they always used to say to me, the size of her, the tiny little thing. And people used to think that somehow you couldn't hear.
Yeah.
That there was actually a pane of glass in front of you.
Yeah. Think you're deaf.
But also they were lovely.
Yes.
So Ellen went out to the streets of Mullingar and she spoke to people about their memories of... But have you all got headphones there? Yeah, you do. Yeah, because it's to hear this.
This is a dread now. What they're going to say?
No, it's all very lovely and innocent enough memories. This woman was homed in on the potatoes.
I always enjoyed Miley. I thought he was a great character, and I remember one scene where he introduced rooster potatoes. They had just come in the market and they made their appearance on Glenroe. And I went searching for them after that, and I have used them ever since.
Glenroe changed her life. and then this is great as well, because I think there's foodstuffs mentioned in this as well.
Didn't he buy in the eggs in the shop? Paying for them with tin shit and selling them as free range eggs. He was a step ahead all the time. Yeah, Diddy used to be always asking Biddy and Mighty, is there after Storrin after they got married? He was looking for grandchildren. It was not in Storrin. But they did, though. Poor old Miley went off and had an affair with Fidel Mack in the hair shed. Quite Miley, I think he'd do nothing.
That was seismic when that happened.
Wasn't it?
They could not believe Miley would do that.
It was a bit out of character.
Oh yes, very much so. It shook the fabric of Irish society. It did.
But the other one that shook was Dick's affair with Terry.
Yes.
That was, I think, one of the very first affairs.
Which was after Mary and Dick got married.
Yes.
Mary and Dick were the love story, but they were the kind of second time love.
Sorry to interrupt now, but
sorry, we're just being enthusiastic. Yes. Sorry.
No, it's brilliant. But I just want, before we move on from Biddy and Miley.
Okay,
No, because we have the clip where Miley is completely contrite. It appears and is apologising to Biddy.
Right.
What does it matter where it happened?
You're right. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore.
I wanted to tell you about it straight away.
And why didn't you? Because you're a bloody coward.
Because she asked me not to tell you, and I made a promise to her.
Contrite, but there was a sort of a naivety about him, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I always remember Mick did this. I remember when he was doing it, and I was going, why is he doing this? But it was one of the best pieces of business, and for anyone who doesn't know what business is, it's kind of the actions that actors do. So when he was doing that, he started to slowly roll up his shirt sleeves.
As he was saying that dialogue.
And I was going, and it was so effective because it was that kind of, do you know that kind of ordinary gesture when you're saying something so huge to somebody, do you know? It's very sad to hear him, really.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
Mm, yes.
And you had a lovely relationship off camera.
Yeah. Well, Mick was nobody's fool, as we all know.
No.
And could be quite testy if you stayed away from him when he was hungry. Basically.
Right, so he suffered from hangriness.
Yes. He was hangry before anyone else was hangry.
And he was highly intelligent.
Oh my God,
highly
and so well read.
Mm. Yes.
And beautiful Irish. But we used to love bed scenes, not for the obvious reason, but it meant we could lie on our backs for the whole afternoon while people fiddled around with lights and everything. But then we go, is there a kiss in this? The two of us were like, two preteens that
actors mostly hate kissing scenes.
Yes, they do.
In fairness,
but it was great. We used to just fall asleep or just lie there, and I'd bring a magazine and hide it under the bed and read it. It was great crack.
Lovely insight there. But Isabel, it was a happy set.
It was happy. Yeah. I tell you, the laughs we used to have, and actually the laughs behind the camera were as funny as the laughs in front of the camera. The crew. And do you know what? We used to eat so much on that show. We'd get three full dinners and then we'd get buns in the morning, buns in the afternoon.
Mrs. Bulger's buns.
We absolutely did.
That's your memory, Ron.
No, it's not my only memory, but I just remember that it was a fun show. It was a happy show.
We went
through births, marriages, deaths, literally all of life.
All our lives.
I remember you coming in after Catherine. Birth or her.
My first granddaughter.
Straight in from the maternity hospital into makeup, and it was just, all our lives were lived with that show.
Which probably made it easier then, because it was character driven, and that sense of being part of a family.
Mm. Yeah. And we also saw each other all the time without having to make plans and say, oh, we must meet. It was just there every day. It was great.
And we were as much friends with the crew as we were with the crew were great. And it was, and I think the fact that it was such a happy show, that was part of its charm for the audience. Our happiness kind of in each other's company came across. Yeah.
You know, morale in a show is a very precious thing. And there's a sort of a magical aura that surrounds the show. And I think Glenn Rowe had that.
It did.
We had loads of texts and emails to get to. We're speaking to Mary McAvoy, Geraldine Plunkett and Isabel Mann about Glen Rowe, because it is 40 years ago this year that it started on a Sunday night and changed all our lives, particularly that woman with the rooster potatoes.
I know.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're remembering Glen Rowe.
We're
remembering Glen Rowe. This woman attempted to sing the theme tune.
Oh.
Is that it? Yeah, but I loved it. And I'd love those sort of programmes to be back on television.
Yeah. It's lovely memories.
So would we.
for most people. But then there was the fear. There was the fear when people heard the theme tune. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely watched it with my family. My mother would have it on every Sunday religiously. And you'd remember the uniforms were out for them the following morning for school. And then the panic had set in that you hadn't done your homework. But it's all them little memories that brings you back to your family life of when you were growing up back then too.
So is it fond memories for you as well then?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Brings you back to your childhood.
Oh, yeah. You could nearly smell the farms.
Oh, you could nearly,
yeah. You could.
Isn't that lovely? You can nearly smell the farm. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. But I tell you what is about getting older, we were talking about it at the break. It used to be I loved you and Glen Rowe. Then it was my mother loved you and Glen Rowe.
Yes.
And now it's my granny loves
yes.
you.
Oh,
you
yes. yes.
So
yes.
ain't no hiding.
There are so few opportunities now for communal TV watching.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Yes.
Like when you think you were hitting a million viewers on a Sunday night. Mm. And that's
when the population was a lot smaller than it
about
is.
4 million.
Yes,
so
One
in a quarter of the population was watching Glen Rowe.
When you had two channel lands.
Yes.
That's right. And there was far less competition television wise as well.
Yeah.
Of course. We didn't have streaming and this, that and the other thing as well,
But it gave the country a lovely sense of community. And there was the chat then on Monday, did you see that Miley's
having an affair. There was the three programmes. What was it? Where in the world? There was Where in the World and then Glen Rowe, but there was another one. There was Before Glen Rowe. There was something. I can't remember. But it was...
Answers on postcards too. Yeah. Now, let's see what they're saying. On Glen Rowe, I will always remember getting off the bus, going home and seeing the stars of Glen Rowe, shooting scenes around my village in County Wicklow. We would be glued to the TV when my late father got an extra part, walking past the priest on the main street.
Oh.
We'd love to see it put on a streaming site to watch episodes back. That's an Irish institution there. So you're saying Newtown on Kennedy and then it moved to Kilcool, did it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Kilcool. And I'd say no, they were cursing us up and down because they were whenever we were shooting, they were held up.
In the main street.
Susan has been on. She says, Glen Rowe was filmed at my parents' home in Ballygannon for years. That's right.
That might be it. That might be the Douglases.
Right.
Maybe
yes.
That's what it was called.
She says, I can recall Mary McAvoy sitting at my mother's table for a cuppa between scenes. Mam was very fond of her. Mick Lally and all of the crew give the girls best wishes from one of the toners.
Oh, no, it's
the toners.
The toners.
The farm is still open to the public. Just reopened for 2023 season. Great place to visit with the family. Unfortunately, I'm over in the West, so don't get to visit it too often anymore. That's Susan. Catherine Stack from Wexford called in to say that she remembers getting the bus down to UCC in Cork armed with the Swiss roll and being under a lot of pressure to get the cake back to her housemates before Glen Rowe started.
Oh my God.
The pressure of the Swiss roll, Jim Mac.
So here's her memories. Was there a mad moment, and you can answer this, was there a mad moment in Glen Rowe when the Jack Russell and the Greyhound had pups?
Yes.
And the Greyhound
was called the Bishop of Cork.
Right.
And there was a wonderful confessional scene where, do you remember there was, Dinny had done some, what had
no,
he done?
No, Dinny,
he was going to confession to Father Devereux. And Father Devereux had a stake in a greyhound. And Dinny was confessing the skullduggery that he had done.
No, what happened
wasn't
was, no,
like
no, the ha- the, sorry, wait a second now. The Donal, Dinny had a greyhound and
right.
I think Donal Farmer, the priest, had a greyhound called the Bishop of Cork.
Right.
And they decided that they would mate the two greyhounds,
right?
But a little Jack Russell got in instead.
Right.
And Dinny's confession was explaining to Father Devereux how the Jack Russell had managed it, which was basically the greyhound got into a pond and the
we don't need to know.
Basically brought things up to a level.
And it's been Father Devereux being
the
last confession.
Could do but nothing. Grania with the greyhound. Wasn't it Grania with the
greyhound? The greyhound.
And the Bishop of Cork.
Sounds like a housekeeper, doesn't it?
This is the best crack ever. I was shocked to my core when Fidelma and Biddy had the affair.
No, it was Miley.
Yeah. I'd have an affair with you in a second.
That's
very 21st century now.
I just got goosebumps listening to the theme tune of Glen Rowe. Have I got my homework done? Question mark.
Panic attacks.
Ah, feck it, Ray. That was not 40 years ago. Sure, I remember it all well and I'm only 39. I wish, says Francis in Galway.
Yeah, I know.
Lovely to hear the three girls from Glenroe.
We are just girls.
One of my absolute favourites. Even to hear the music today brings me back and it brings back so many memories when life was simple but good. It will always remind me of that last bit of homework not done and where's my uniform. That's Charlotte and Tala. And was delighted to be an extra in the very last episode of Glenroe as I was an extra in Fair City. We were offered the chance to be in Glenroe. Met them all in person after being a huge fan and have a fab picture of myself and Mick Lally. So you were killed off.
I was. Biddy was by killed a tractor. Off.
And that was a big scene.
Yeah, my last scene in the whole thing was with Madame here, Isabel.
Right.
There was some gorgeous Frenchman driving the tractor.
Was there? I didn't see them. I went home before it happened. I didn't want to see somebody like
that. It was very moving, actually.
I didn't watch it. I wasn't able for
you
it.
You had to look down. You were looking down to pick up a teddy.
Teddy that
I
bought for the kid.
It was one of those.
And you never watched it.
I didn't like watching myself. I would watch other scenes, all right, but I never liked watching myself. But I couldn't watch the I watched it when I left.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it when I left.
Because you knew you weren't in it.
Because I knew I wasn't in it.
Right.
I watched it through my fingers. I know you when you know what's going to happen, and it's awful.
Yeah. But it was. I was more upset when the show itself ended than when I left.
Right.
Much more upset because I thought. Yeah,
why
anyway.
Did they finish it up in the end?
Who knows? And I'm not saying anything because I've never. We don't want to queer any pitches about working in RTE again.
Because we were constantly asked by the public, why did they end it?
Well, the very last line of it was, I think it was Stephen Brennan saying, sure, it's all.com now. And it was like this signal. It was the beginning of the Celtic Tiger.
2001.
And I remember it was really about the 21st century and that somehow this was a world that was the 20th century.
But it's odd because
it still exists, that world.
It does, but in if you like, the popular mind and the zeitgeist of the time, that world had shifted. It's come back. It was temporary.
But here's the thing, because Wesley Burroughs had that really special talent. He had a lightness of touch. So although there were serious issues covered, there was always a bit of humour. The feathers on the eggs, or whatever.
People really touched people. They're still talking about it 40 years later.
Yes, they are.
Particularly that man in Mullingar.
He had the whole thing.
And then feeding the greyhound a sausage to slow it down. Do you remember instead of doping it, they fed it a sausage?
That's right.
And you know who's in it, who's doing very well for himself in America, is Tim Murphy.
Yes,
that's right.
Oh, I've interviewed Tim Murphy. He's in one of those.
He was very good. One of my best.
Gorgeous looking.
Sort of a gang thing.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. Lovely man.
He made in a big movie,
And he was in a great movie called, I hear we're promoting other people. Why not?
Wow.
Road to Paloma, which was with Jason Momoa. He was really good in that as well.
This isn't the last word, but just we better nod to the Oscars. Are you surprised at the success of the Irish in the Oscars?
It's
14 nominations.
No.
Yeah,
I think it's been a long time coming.
Yes.
All of those people have earned their stripes.
Indeed.
We'll have to dig out Brendan Gleeson in Glenroe, won't we?
He'd be shocked and embarrassed, I think.
Would he?
I think he would.
I don't think he would.
I feel like I'm back in Glenroe there to do you because that's exactly like a
No, Mammy. Yes, I know, Mammy.
I think he's big enough now that he can smile.
But you know who I think is brilliant? Okay, here I'm promoting somebody else again, but it doesn't matter. Sheila Flitton, who at the age of...
Wonderful.
She sat here in front.
She's over 90. She's doing one-woman shows.
I love that woman.
But listen, speaking of just keeping going, isn't she the icon?
Yes,
she is.
All of us. Isn't she?
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about her is that she is, well, you have it too, Geraldine. I'm a bit of an old curmudgeon, but you have this kind of lovely
benign openness to life.
Yes, yeah, joie de vivre.
Yeah,
you just say, you just say yes. Yeah,
but you recognise it in yourself, Mary, which is fine.
I do, but it kind of shuts a lot of doors.
But she hit it well.
Yeah, loved Biddy, Mary, and Michelle, says Michal. And remember Miley asking Biddy, where are you going with that armful of turnips on their wedding night? Is that correct?
I don't remember that, but I do remember him telling me he had I thought he was going to ask me to marry him, and he told me he had a discoloration on the top of his carrots.
That's so romantic.
And that was a Wesley line as well.
Yes. And he was with that, he threw it out. I want to. And I was going, yeah. I have this terrible discoloration on the top of my carrots.
I didn't know what you were going to say for a minute.
Isabel Mann, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Geraldine Plunkett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Mary McVoy, thank you.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Here we go.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gormaga Court, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Mick Lally was on Bean Bawn Beach in Dingle in the early 90s. We have a photo of myself, my siblings from that day with the date and the day Miley came to the beach written on the back. No sign of Mick in the photo, but we all saw him as such a celebrity and it had to be marked. Oh, you see, so there's a picture of ye without Mick, but on the back it says the day that Miley came to the beach. Fair enough. We had a pub in Abbey Leaks in the 80s and we got our Sunday regulars who only came in to watch Glen Rowe. They must have had no TV at home, says Morgan in Greystones. And Geraldine Plunkett is in Tartuffe in the Abbey, which opened last night. And Isabel Mann asked me to mention her book, Learning to Fly. When the ground's cut from under your feet, there's only one thing for it, learning to fly. And that's that. And Mary McVoy said to mention Matchmaker, which continues to tour around the country with her friend John Kenny and Norma Sheehan. So that's all done. Great. Now, let's get to our quiz, the Who Done It quiz. Two quizzes standing by and a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people in the Riverlea Hotel in Cork. We say thank you very much for helping us out this week. It's a family-run Irish luxury hotel, part of the Doyle Collection, and you can use it to explore everything that Cork has to offer. And they have a little bit of a sort of offer at the moment for a limited time only. If you use the promo code CHAMPAGNE when booking directly on their website, you enjoy a complimentary bottle of champagne on your arrival. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Is it Keane or Kane?
Keane.
And you're in Waterford. Keane. Whereabouts in Waterford are you?
Just, well, I'm across the border in Kilkenny, but I call it Waterford. I grew up in Waterford.
So why is
that? I like to keep my blue and white in colours.
Right. So you're just across the river, is it?
Yeah, out in
Eastleigh Road. Right. So that must be tough when Waterford and Kilkenny meet in the hurling.
Oh, it is very tough, yeah. There's a lot of strong Kilkenny supporters living around me.
Yes, so you have the blue and white flying, do you? And they have the black
do,
and amber.
I do, and they have the black and amber, yeah. My daughter even has the black and amber.
Does she? Right, okay. Yeah. were you a fan of Glen Rowe, Mary?
I was, yeah. Just talking to you earlier there about it. I remember particularly Dinny when he was selling eggs and she used to buy them in the shop and put a bit of dirt on them and then sell them on.
That was so brilliant, wasn't it? Just so brilliant. Yeah.
Holy God.
That's my tip. Now, what's the plan for the weekend?
What's the plan? Well, there's a local Ram Society who are putting on a play in the local hall in Sleaville, so I'll go to that tonight.
Right.
And then I have to go racing in Gorn tomorrow. I treated myself to an annual membership up there for my retirement.
Right.
So I have to go to all the racing there. And sure, the rugby's on Sunday.
Yes.
So it's a busy weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if I prefer it on Saturday or Sunday. I think I prefer it on a Saturday. It's a long old wait till 3 o'clock on Sunday, isn't it?
Wait. Yeah, right. Yeah, it is.
So it's away. Anyway, it's away in Murrayfield to the Scots, who are having a great season. Although they are beaten, they were beaten by the French. We're the only unbeaten team in the Six Nations.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're going for the Grand Slam and the Triple Crown and the whole lot.
The whole shebang.
The whole lot.
So if we beat Scotland on Sunday, it's going to be a tough game. Then it sets up St. Patrick's weekend nicely because it's at home to England. Which, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, that's something to look forward to.
And is that a Saturday or a Sunday, Ray?
I'm nearly sure it's a Saturday, but we look it up here.
All right, the Sunday is my birthday, so it's great.
Oh, is it? Right, Sunday. The 19th of March.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy birthday in advance. You're up against Amelia Roan in Kimmage in Dublin. Hello, Amelia.
Hi, Ray.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good. You have a busy weekend ahead of you.
I do, yes.
What's happening?
So some of my best friends is having her wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
And where is it on? Can you tell us?
In the Radisson in St. Helens.
Oh, right. Very nice. Very posh. Yeah.
Very posh.
And are you in the wedding? Are you part of the wedding party or just a guest?
Yeah, pretty much. She's not having bridesmaids. So she had a COVID wedding. And this is now the big party to follow on.
Oh, I see. Right. Great. Oh, that's more relaxed then.
Yeah. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. And what's
we're all getting our hair and makeup done tomorrow. We can wear what we like.
That's,
and we have a little corsage.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. So there's no dress code?
No. No.
And do you mind me asking what you're wearing?
A fabulous dress my mum bought me.
Right.
So it's a Vivienne Westwood velvet dress from an amazing secondhand shop in Sandymount.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
So Sunday, the match and the Oscars, or just the match or neither?
The match and definitely catch bits of the Oscars.
Yeah.
The red carpet.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so exciting, isn't it? Like when you think of Paul,
it really
Paul Mescal, like whose name nobody knew 3 years ago, and there he is.
And his gorgeous mum is
so
lovely.
Isn't she so gorgeous? Yeah, you just want to bring her home with you. right, you're more of a Ballycasangel fan than a Glenroe. That's about age, I suppose, more than anything else.
I know, it is. Yeah.
And it's interesting because I was going to say to Geraldine and Mary and Isabel that actually Glenroe was Ballycasangel before Ballycasangel existed.
Yeah. Definitely.
Wasn't it? Same sort of tone, sort of drama, a bit of comedy, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Colin Farrell came out of Ballycasangel.
Kerry was in it as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, okay, so three questions each. Mary plays Amelia, and I'll give you the category. Then you tell me if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue, you get a point for a correct answer. If you go without a clue, you get 2 points. Whoever scores the most on points is the winner. And if the draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck,
Mary.
Okay, music it is. Mary, do you want a clue or not?
I'll chat without a clue.
Without a clue. Okay, for 2 points.
Yeah.
For 2 points, who is this?
I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. This fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
Who's that?
It sounds like Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
It is Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. 2 points for you. Well done. Good start.
Great.
Okay,
you.
Amelia, music for you too. Do you want a clue?
No clue.
Okay, so for 2 points, who's this?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Who's that?
Dean Martin.
It is Dean Martin, yes.
Yeah.
Is there going is it a disco or a band at the wedding?
I don't know. The band and the disco.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 points for you.
Yeah.
2 points for you. Okay, good start from both of you. Second category, Mary, is TV characters.
Characters. Okay,
yes.
I'll chance without a clue.
Okay, so we need the name of the character, not the name of the actor. Okay, good luck with this. For 2 points, which TV character is this?
Last night when I brought you here, it was dark in the den. I left you when the doorbell rang and you came into the dark room. I had only taken a few steps when the den lights flashed on. Didn't occur to me until today that you said you'd never been in this room before. But it took you less than 5 seconds to find an obscure light switch in the dark.
Uh-huh. Who's that?
Oh, it's Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Can't think of her name.
No. Yeah, the right programme. Jessica Fletcher. Yeah, played by the late Angela Lansbury. Okay, so no points there. Pity. Okay, Amelia, chance for you to go. Chance for you to go in front. It's TV characters again. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll go without a clue.
Without a clue. Okay. Remember the name of the TV character, not the actor. So for 2 points, here we go.
Oh, it's you, Violet. It's my sister, Violet. You remember? The one with the large house, the sauna, and room for a pony. I hope you're wearing something sensible for this telephone call. Yes, it always makes me very nervous to think I might be talking to a miniskirt. Yes, I know you still have good legs, dear. I just wish you didn't wave them about so much.
Who's that?
Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Hyacinth Bouquet. Very, very funny. Yeah. And you get you get 2 points for that. Okay, you're under pressure now, Mary. Well done, Amelia. Under pressure. Yeah. So Amelia's on 4. You're on 2. You sort of have to go without a clue here. It's famous puppets. Famous puppets. And if you get this right, if you get this right, and Amelia doesn't get her final question right, then we're in a tiebreak situation. So good luck with this. So it's which famous puppet or puppets do you hear in this clip?
Keeps bugging me with these knock-knock jokes, and I really need some help around the apartment. I'm gonna give him a call. Will you come help with the laundry?
No. You see, it goes like this. So you say knock-knock, and then I say, what? Who's there? And then you say, Will. And I say, Will who? And then you say, Will you come help with the laundry? You see that? You never start with the punchline. Yeah. Hey, but you keep working on it.
Well,
is it Bert and Ernie?
It is Bert and Ernie, yes. You're back in the game. 2 points for that. Well done.
Okay.
You can't do any more. Well done, Mary. So, Amelia.
I'm good. Yeah.
Famous puppets. If you get anything from this, you're today's winner.
Okay, so I'll take a clue.
You take a clue. Okay, right. This diva was once in love with a frog. For 1 point, who is this?
I adore being adored by my fans. I just look at it this way. Being accosted is just a cost of fame. You may not have heard that moi and Kermie are no longer a thing. Oh, come on, you heard. The whole world heard. So yeah, I do go out on dates. So I make it easy and I say, you're good looking. I know you want to go out with me. And they just nod their head yes like this, just like I'm doing right now.
Right.
Miss Piggy.
It is Miss Piggy. Yes. Well done. You get a point. Bring you up to 5. It was Jessica Fletcher that ruined it on you. Yes. You got the program, but not the character. Mary, because it's Friday, we're going to send you out 2 Radar Show Keep Cups. Yay.
Brilliant. That's great. Thanks very much.
Enjoy the play tonight and enjoy the rugby as well. And lovely talking to you. See you, Mary. Bye now.
Bye.
Amelia, well done.
Woo, I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's a good start to what's going to be a great weekend for you. So it's you and a person of your choice off to the Riverlea Hotel for 2 nights stay and dinner on one of the evenings. And you can find out what's in store for you at the doylecollection.com. doylecollection.com/Cork. Well done, Amelia. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Wedding. See you. Bye. Okay, before
Thanks,
you go, before
Ray,
you,
bye.
You better mention your friend's name and say, you know, good luck and well done and all that sort of thing.
So Martha and Ronan. And yeah, I'll be putting the child of Prague out.
Okay, yes. What is the forecast? Is the forecast good?
I actually haven't checked. I hope it's like today.
Okay, yeah, it'd be beautiful if it was like today. Okay, enjoy it, Amelia. See you. Bye.
Thanks,
bye. Ray.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the Daily Dish Duo. That's what you're known as, the Daily Dish Duo.
Yeah.
Gina and Cara Daly join us in studio. Great to see you again. How are things with you?
Brilliant.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely
yeah.
brilliant. Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Yeah, and you came with the family.
Yeah, the tribe of us.
They're sitting out watching this.
So there's 3 of them outside. So you've Holly, Ben and Jean.
Yes.
Jean is the youngest.
He's the babby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He'd be 16 months this month.
Right.
So, he's fresh little dish.
He has an amazing story.
He does.
Do you mind sharing the story with us?
No, at all. It's a wonderful story. So he was our little rainbow baby. So I had a miscarriage before I had Jean, and I found out I was pregnant on Jean on the 21st of March, 2020. What day is it? So 21st of March is World Down Syndrome Day. Now, it didn't have a significance to me at the time. And then forward on 9 months, in November, I had the most beautiful little boy, who is my rainbow with an extra colour, who was born with Down Syndrome.
Right.
So he is the light of our lives, the best thing that has ever happened
to us.
He really is. It's just, he's just magic. Couldn't.
And did you know?
No, we didn't know. There was a few indicators. They do mention, because I was in my 40s having them, that could be, you know, it's one of those things if you want to get testing. Also, I had a scan and there was a little, his femur was showing short, and they said it could be something. I was like, his daddy has short legs. It's okay. So it was probably just that. But there was nothing that they were worried about. His organs, his heart, everything looked fine. So I just said, look, what's meant to be is meant to be. Mm. And I went
to be his mom and dad.
Absolutely. And I had him via a C-section on my own. Carl was just at the door.
I was outside the door putting the scrubs on.
They couldn't wait
so
any longer.
It was an emergency
C-section. Yeah, so when they held him up, that was the first time I knew instantly when I looked at him. And the nurses took him away because they would obviously know as well. And they were checking, and all I wanted was to give him a hug and a kiss. And I was like, he has Down syndrome now, like, give him back to me. They said, oh, did you know? I said, no, but I can tell by looking at him. She says, there's just a few markers, but she said, look, we'll, you know. And I said, it's absolutely fine, just give him to me and give me a kiss, let him kiss me, you know. So it was very positive for me. It was a very positive experience. And from women that I spoke to, some, it can be, I suppose, you can, you know, it's, there's so many different reactions.
Yes.
Me personally, and Carl, I didn't care if I had him in a field, wherever I had him. He was just our longed for baby.
Say the guys in Mullingar Hospital were absolutely fantastic. They were so nice. And the first thing, because Gina had a C-section, they had to bring her off. So I was brought up to the room with Gina.
You have to, you're
and I given him the skin a cuddle, and the paediatrician came up and gave him just kind of once over, and he said, look, everything seems fine, heart and everything else. And that was it.
Yeah. That's all. Once
just
he
let
was,
us love him.
Once he was healthy, said just let us bring him home to love him, and that was it.
And there's 11 years between Ben and Jane.
So
he has changed the tone of the house, I'd say, completely.
It's funny though, because it's not really, like, obviously before he was born we were expecting, okay, things are going to be a lot different than back to nappies and everything else, but it's been such an amazing experience. It's really, I suppose, because Jean and myself, we do from home, so we're around them all the time, it's been just brilliant.
And he's just the best of
he's so good, like, he sleeps every night.
Sorry, guys. He's just such a good baby, and he sleeps all night, and he's, you know, he feeds well, and he's all of the things. You know, I suppose when babies with any additional needs are born, sometimes things can be, they won't be able to do this, or these are the things, instead of, this is what he's going to be able to do.
Yes.
And that's the paediatrician that I was under. That was the first thing he said. He'd be running, he'd be walking, he'd be talking. There's no reason why he can't do everything that your other children can do. You just need to love him, you need to nourish him, and that's all we don't. Like, I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it anymore, you know.
We just see Jean.
Yeah, that's it.
Brilliant. And what you were saying before that chat was that it's 3 years ago, nearly to the day.
Yes. I think it was next week, 3 years ago, yes.
Because you were the last guest we had in studio before lockdown.
With our air fryer, do you remember?
With your air fryer and your first book.
Yes.
It was coming out the following week.
The book was due out on the 20th of March.
Right.
Yeah.
2020.
2020, yeah.
So it's been, like, obviously,
so
Jean,
much has happened.
So much has happened.
Yeah. Like, we've had three books since. Yeah. So, or
a
two
TV,
books
a
since.
TV show.
TV show. Like, so many opportunities and just amazing experiences. And obviously, we won the Ampus Book Award for our new book. We've been nominated every year, and the award ceremony has never happened, and we didn't win. But this year we were like, you know, we said, oh, sure, look, we'll go, we'll get dressed up, we'll have a nice bit of a
hoolie. It was an amazing
had night. No expectations about winning, had nothing prepared.
Sure, we were flying off to Paris the next morning with the kids. We had to be in the airport for 6 a.m.
Right. They called our name. I nearly fell off the chair. I went up and I just
nothing prepared.
Thanks.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. Yeah.
The Daily Dish, bold food made good. And just for people who don't know you, and that's where it all started, because you wanted to eat bold food, but you were sort of worried about your health.
Yeah.
So you looked at the air fryer option.
Yeah.
And you were pioneers of the air fryer.
Yeah, we're the OGs.
Air fryer OGs, I like
what
that.
What does that mean?
Original gangster.
Air fryer OGs.
So like that's how the journey started off for us. It was just enjoying the food that we liked to eat out.
As a young couple, obviously, like, you know, we were busy, we were eating lots of takeouts and stuff, and it was kind of going, right, well, if we're going to cook at home, like, let's make really nice food that we enjoy. And like, myself and Gina aren't trained chefs in any way, shape or form, so I suppose we just kind of sat around and thought, like, what do we like? Okay, for example, chicken satay, spice bag, how do we make it, like, and obviously easily and with ingredients you can just get in one shop, without going to three or four shops
and throw it in the air fryer.
The air fryer or the oven. Yeah, I mean, air fryer,
we're not restricted to the air fryer, don't worry. You can use your oven.
Can
too.
You make scones in the air fryer?
You can. You can bake. It bakes. Yeah. And I've got like a new one. Oh my God. I've eight or 15 air fryers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have a new one that steams your rice and it cooks your pasta and your sauce and your meat on top. So it does a whole meal in 15 minutes. Like, so there's a new one for you, right? You can get that one. You might like that one.
So, because you should be on some sort of percentage.
Oh, listen, if I had got commission for every air fryer that was sold because of me, I'd be living in Malibu or somewhere like that. Yeah, but no, I don't.
You started because it's you know, it is a rage. It's not going away, is the thing.
No,
it's
like,
and
with
it's
nowadays,
just,
though, with the cost of everything else, and it's a lot more efficient. Like, you did a lasagna in the oven and a comparison in the air fryer. Air fryer lasagna, how long did it take?
It was 14 minutes versus 45 minutes. So.
And they both tasted incredible.
Yeah, I think that's, people are clicking on to that kind of, you know, are keeping our energy bills down and doing all that kind of stuff. So it's nice for that kind of that
particularly
aspect
if you're cooking for two people and you have a big Neff oven or something like that.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Sometimes it is cheaper to eat out and get a takeaway or than go and do
chicken wings.
Yeah, yes. I made you them before.
Yeah, you did. You made them here. Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Chicken wings are great in the air fryer.
Bonus buffalo bites for people who don't like the wings. It's essentially just your chicken with some corn flour, some buffalo seasoning in the air fryer, and then put your Frank's hot sauce and honey in, and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So what would you, do you watch the rugby? Are you rugby? No, you don't watch the rugby.
No.
But a lot of people will be sitting down Sunday, it's on at 3 o'clock, they'll need some sort of snacks.
Yes.
I'll be making chicken wings, they won't be in an air fryer, but there you go.
You're missing out.
I'm going to return to it. I am going to return to it. You gifted me an air fryer and I have used it. I just found that the chips, you know, I put them in.
There's a knack to that.
I put them in on Saturday, they were ready on Tuesday.
Then you're doing it all wrong.
I'm doing it all wrong. What is the knack then? What was it?
From scratch, from fresh potatoes.
Yeah.
Just cut them up, put them in the microwave with no water, rinse them and drain them and put them in the microwave until they're soft to the touch.
Right.
Then put them in, spray
they'll
them, because otherwise they'd be like little bullets, you know, and take ages and ages to soften up. But that's my trick.
Right.
Yeah. And they come out really crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. You see, I didn't give it a chance.
No, you just did what you thought was right. You didn't even look.
Can I publicly apologise to my air fryer? I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't give you a chance. Yeah. So is there a book number four?
Who knows? We don't know yet.
I think we were only saying at Christmas time, we only kind of sat back and kind of had a look over the last couple of years and how much...
There's only so many recipes they can pull out of us, you know. But we took a nice little break and we're constantly cooking.
We've a few bits on the go at the moment and we've actually got a really exciting meeting next week about something that hopefully, touch wood, we'll see. But yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, there's lots going on.
You can't tell us about it, obviously.
No, can't, yeah.
I don't want to jinx it.
Loads of exciting things happening.
Keep you posted. And you've given us two recipes which we can share with our listeners.
Yes. Of course, yeah.
So for air fryer, doner kebab and air fried Yorkshire pudding bowl. Yeah. That sounds delicious.
So the doner kebab, it's Friday and we love...
Who loves a kebab on a
kebab, and it's something that you can make today and eat it this evening when you come in from the pub, or tonight, whatever time. But it's literally just like making a big sausage. You can use lamb mince, beef mince or turkey mince, whichever you prefer.
Right.
I have a list of herbs and spices there. I won't go through them all, but a bit of chopped up onion. And you just pack it really tightly in tin foil, put it into the air fryer.
Or the oven.
I'll let it cook.
We put that up. The Daily Dish, bold food made good. Winner of
On Puss Book Awards.
Yay! So great to see you, and thanks for bringing in the children as well. I'll go and say hello to them in a moment.
Thanks so much for having
Will you join me in wishing all the people who were nominated for Oscars good luck? So there's Paul Mescal, there's Kerry Condon, there's Barry Keoghan, there's Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, Jonathan Redmond for his work on Elvis, Richie Bainham for his work on Avatar, The Banshees, and Colleen Kuhn, and An Irish Goodbye, and everyone. Everyone over there. Good luck to you all.
Good luck. Good luck, guys. Yeah, best luck.
Carol, good to see you. Gina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Go on to Ireland in everything, in the rugby and the Oscars. And we will talk to you Monday, 3 o'clock. Where's that there?
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.